Welcome back to Business Resolutions with your host, Jorge Gonzalez.
Welcome back to Business Resolutions. My guest is Emilio Ortiz of Servi Metal, the founder, the CEO, and the owner, sole owner of Servi Metal. And what I found also very interesting is, as a company like this with the complexity that it has in manufacturing and distribution of so many products, and it's a huge operation, how you moved into this. You initially were a manufacturer's representative or a distributor in these kinds of products. Tell us how you got started in Puerto Rico and how you did the transition from a distribution sales representative role to the manufacturing role, which is a big transition.
It's a very long story, and therefore it's not going to be possible to cover it all in lots of detail, but I'm going to give you a kind of recap. I was working in Houston in charge of the Houston office of a major trading company, which was based in New York. And one day, the president of the company calls me and says that he has the person that is in charge of the Puerto Rico office has suddenly passed away. And at that time, the Puerto Rico market represented one of the most important segments of the that trading company. He asked me point blank, why had I not applied for that position? And that my answer was, heck, I just bought a brand new house here, and my wife is here, my mother-in-law lives here, my sister-in-law lives here in Houston. I mean, why should I apply for the position? I'm doing well
I'm
here.
I'm happy.
I'm here, you know? So he told me, I need you to catch a plane and fly to New York tomorrow. I said, what? I need you to be in New York tomorrow. So my wife says, oh, don't you do any crazy things. don't do this, don't do that. And I said, well, listen, you know, my boss tells me to fly to New York. I got to fly to New York. You know, I can't do anything else. So next time I call her from Puerto Rico.
And your decision right on the moment that you had.
Oh, when I got to New York.
It was an offer you couldn't refuse.
I couldn't refuse on all sides. I mean, I had the president of the company, the chairman of the company, plus the stockholder of the holding group, which was from Liechtenstein, and he was a Baron von Ligner. And the whole, you know,
plethora of management was there pressuring you.
I found myself bowing. You know, I said, okay, you know, great honor, great honor. Thank you very much.
Your negotiation skills were not ready for that moment.
They handed it to me in a platter. And I said, well, you know, I have to call my wife, but I won't call her from New York, otherwise.
It's one of those things where you said, well, geez, I just bought a new house. Don't worry, we'll sell the house. We'll take care of whatever you lose. It's like, no, but then I have to, don't worry, we'll pay for your move to the, and every time you had a but, they had an answer, right?
I've seen that before. No buts. It was a yes or yes.
So you didn't negotiate all these things?
No. They told me, you know, what I was going to get. They said, are you happy? And I said, yes.
Okay. It was just an economic package.
Yeah.
Okay. So you told your wife, we're moving to Puerto Rico?
No, I called her literally from Puerto Rico. She didn't know. I flew out in one of these, in the Trans-Caribbean flight.
What year was this, more or less?
This was 66.
66, yeah. Okay.
And the Trans-Korean night flight, because this happened so fast. Mm-hmm. And they had me in coach. And when I got to the counter in JFK, I guess the guy, pitied me. And he put me in first. I didn't pay or offer it or request it or anything. He just put me in first. And I could hear the... Los Gallos singing kikiriki back there in the plane. I said, oh my God, what is this?
So you're off. So you're off. You're in Puerto Rico, and I'm in Puerto Rico, and you were in charge then of the office.
Yeah,
I
do remember, and I cannot recall her name, unfortunately, because so many years ago. But I do remember that I sat next to a young lady, And she was from Ponce. And she says, I'm from Ponce. And I said, where is Ponce? No freaking idea where Ponce was. And she was so kind as to explain the Puerto Rico geography.
she said, Ponce is the best city in all of Puerto Rico.
Yeah, she did.
The Ponceños are very proud.
Her father was an accountant, I think that one of the big fives, but I'm not even sure of that. But anyhow, I landed in Puerto Rico, and then I called my wife the next day, and I said, hey, you know what?
I did the crazy thing you told me not to do.
We have been moved to Puerto Rico.
Wow. And you didn't have children yet.
Well, we had.
You had children
already? Yeah, we had our daughter. Our boy was born here, but we had one child.
Okay. She's a psychologist, a clinical psychologist.
She's
okay.
A psychologist.
That's okay. In Boston, living in Boston.
Right.
So you're in charge then, you're put in charge of the office of this trading company.
Right.
And
basically, I worked for them in Puerto Rico for about 5 years. And at the end of the 5 years, I sensed that I wanted to do something on my own. So I sent
a letter saying
that. Yeah, I sent a wire, a resignation wire.
Wow.
And I told him that effective December 31st, 71. And that was it.
And it was you wanted to do your own business in the same kind line of
right.
products?
Yeah. I wanted to be a rep. And
you wanted to be on your own. You didn't want to be an employee anymore.
Exactly. Uh-huh. I started on my own. It was.
Were you competing with your old company?
In a way, I was in some products. Not in a big way because, of course, we had
huge.
Competing products. But, it was like David and Goliath. We were at that time, number one in Puerto Rico, and that company was importing. We had about 55 to 60% of the overall market, so it was.
Could you tell us the name of the company? You'd rather
Pan American Trade Development Corporation.
Trade Development.
Yeah.
Okay, I never heard of it, but.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The headquarters were in 2 Park Avenue at the time. And
but they sold to businesses. It was business to business, so not to the your general consumer. Complete business,
right,
related.
Right.
Okay.
So I went in and started getting orders and getting businesses, and from there I transitioned into a trader because at the beginning there was not enough capital to finance a trading operation. So when I had a little cushion.
What do you mean by trading? It's actually purchasing products and inventorying versus a commission agent? Is that what you mean?
In trading, what you're doing is you buy futures and you sell futures.
Okay.
And
you have to put capital and risk.
Right.
Okay.
So you are the actual buyer of the commodity and you take a position.
Okay.
And then you sell this commodity further down
okay.
to the users in Puerto Rico. So as a rep, I was not the owner. I only made commissions. It was on a commission basis. And the commissions were paid by the principal, who was the one that invoiced the customer.
Okay. So, and then from the representative to the trading, then you made the move to manufacturing. Well, how did that?
Well, from the trading, I moved into the manufacturing. It's a little complicated situation. We had a difficult economic period in the 90s, in the early 90s, and I had started Cerimetal with a partner because when I started Cerimetal, I was not the only partner. But
if it's going to be a little bit longer. Let me take a break and let's get back and we'll discuss, how you get into manufacturing. It's not going to be as easy as I thought it was going to be. I'm with Emilio Ortiz of Serving Metal. Sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's not. But I will be right back after the pause.
Okay.